hear the sound of a mighty rushing wind.
Welcome to Issues weekly broadcast on Spirit FM 88.3. Romans chapter 13 verse 11 to 12 says, "And that knowing the time, that now is the high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light." On this broadcast, Brother Eben and his team reveal supernatural visions, dreams, and prophecies with the accounts of the Bible, real testimony soundbite of heaven and hell that can affect your life eternally. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth, on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on earth. Topical areas include the reality of life, heaven and hell, the afterlife, times, and many more. This program is live every Saturday from 8
to 9:30 p.m.
Be blessed as you are encouraged to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling.
Of the times, they're appearing everywhere. I can almost see the Father saying, "Son, go get my children." Yeah, and at the midnight cry, we'll be good.
Very good evening to everyone. We thank God for another Saturday. This is Eben on Spirit 88.3 FM. Issues of Life is the program. I'm going to be with you from now till 9:30 p.m. And we're going to talk about things happening in the world, some of the events, the news this week. And, you know, the last few weeks we've been talking about building our faith in the times we find ourselves. Indeed, we need to build ourselves ahead of time. You know, there's one good reason why there's Bible prophecy regarding the end times. It's not just for fun that these things are in the Word of God. It's meant to be a lesson, and it's meant to advise, and it's meant to be a guide to the children of God. So that's the least we can do to put ourselves in the position where we depend on God, we depend on God's word and all that. We'll be talking more about it. But first, we'll be looking at some of the news, the things happening. We've been watching foreign news yesterday, the U.S. and the abortion ruling by the Supreme Court, and, you know, the anger, and, I mean, lots of things happening in the world. But, you know, these things are all showing the times we are in, the behavior of society, you know, how society has become anti-God, so brazenly and shamelessly and openly and all that. But, you know, as believers, we should not be surprised by the turn of events, the world system, the world economy, all these things happening. It's just to let us know that the Word of God is true. And that's the essence why we discuss these things on this program, so that we are not ignorant of what is happening. You know, sometimes people are just so ignorant about the things happening. They are just stuck in a little Ghana here with our, you know, our politics, MPP, DC, funny things there. But a lot is happening elsewhere. And a lot of these things really fall in line with the Word of God. So I believe that's the essence why these things should be a guide to us. Okay, so I'm Eben, and I believe we will be with going through some of these things. Okay, let me start with the news. Afghanistan earthquake, where at least 1,000 people killed and 1,005 injured. A powerful quake has killed at least 1,000 people and injured 1,005 in eastern Afghanistan, an official of the ruling Taliban told the BBC. The Taliban appealed for international help for the rescue effort, as pictures showed landslides and ruined mud-built homes in the province of Pakitika. The quake struck shortly after 1:30 9 p.m. GMT on Tuesday as people slept. Normally, earthquake does strike in the evening nights when people are asleep. The effect is more deadly because, you know, when a building collapses, starts, it's no, you're asleep. I mean, so it just collapses on you, and that's more deadly. During the day, people can escape, people can hide under, you know, things. But ninth ones are a big problem. Then this article, it's quite interesting. But I believe listeners of this program will not be surprised to be hearing it, because I've been talking about some of these things way back from last year, August. And, well, it just gets worse. Now, the headline is, now wheat crops in Kansas are failing on massive scale. And let me read. It says, did you know that Kansas, in the U.S., Kansas is known as the wheat state? In 2021, it produced nearly one-fourth of all wheat that was harvested in the United States. Needless to say, we really need Kansas to come up big again this year, because the war in Ukraine and a number of other factors have combined to bring us to the precipice of an absolutely horrifying global food crisis. Unfortunately, things are not going well in Kansas this year. In fact, wheat crops in much of the state are failing on a massive scale. This time of the year, the wheat growing in this part of western Kansas should be thigh high, like, okay, the height of thigh, I mean, up to human thigh, the height. So should be thigh high and lush green. But as a month's long drought continues to patch the region, many fields, tell a different story. There's nothing out there. It's dead. A farmer, Vance M.K., said, surveying a wheat field near his land in Lane County, it's just ankle-high straw. At this point, the U.S. Department of Agriculture is telling us that 41% of all wheat in Kansas is in poor or very poor condition. The situation is particularly dire in the western portion of the state. It's being reported that many fields of the wheat in western Kansas now resemble barren wastelands. Across western Kansas, many fields planted with wheat months ago now look like barren wastelands. The gaping spaces between rows of brown, shriveled plants reveal hardened decks that scarred with deep cracks from baking in the sun. Of all the years for drought to hit western Kansas wheat farmers, it couldn't have come at a worse time. Even though the price of wheat has soared to crazy levels, it's been estimated that somewhere around 10% of all wheat fields in Kansas will not even grow enough crops to bother harvesting them. This is really bad news, but the truth is that things are even worse in Colorado and Texas. To the west in Colorado, projections say nearly one-third of the wheat fields won't produce enough to bother harvesting. In Texas, around three-quarters of the crop will likely be abandoned. And then, this is enormous news, and is going to deeply affect all of us in the months ahead. At the worst possible time, wheat crops are failing on a massive scale all over the western half of the nation. We have been stuck in a pattern of drought that resembles the Dust Bowl days of 1930s for many years now, and things are starting to happen which would have once been unthinkable. Lake Mead and Lake Powell have both dropped to all-time record lows, and drinking water for tens of millions of Americans is now in jeopardy. I wish that more people would understand the gravity of what we are potentially facing. Down in Mexico, residents of Monterrey are already being limited to 6 hours of water a day because shortages have already become so severe. In the sprawling metropolitan area of Monterrey, home of some 5.3 million people, the droughts and years of below-average rainfall have led to citywide water shortages. We are in extreme climate crisis. Nuevo León Governor Samuel Gavria said in a news conference last week, today we are all living it and suffering. you know, I think 2 weeks ago, a friend of mine who works in a water company in California, they are facing the worst water crisis, over a century record water crisis. I mean, it's serious. You can check online, see the California, how low the water bodies have gone. And this friend, he works in a water company, and that's why I asked him, and he told me, Charlie, the thing is that bad. Situation is so now they are looking at digging boreholes and all that as a company, you know. So there's something happening behind the scenes. It just looks like one problem after the other, and it's like while solution is being sought, then something else comes in. So the food issues just don't go away. It keeps being compounded by shortages here and there, you know, countries now placing their bans. And this evening I was reading one report, economic report, and it's because it's not part of the news though, but let me just give a highlight of it. You know, the article was talking about the problem in the months ahead for diesel cars. Or diesel trucks, you know, largely worldwide, trucks, farming equipment, and you know, the big, you know, the container ships and all, they all use diesel, they are diesel powered, you know. So, any shortage or any diesel related problem really, really goes a long way to affect the world supply chain systems, you know. And one of the, there's a component, apart from the diesel being the fuel itself, there's this component that they add, you know, the modern diesel trucks requires because of the pollution. Without it, they can't operate. And part of it is produced from urea. And urea is, you know, you have Russia and China, the two largest exporters. The sanctions on Russia means that they can't get urea, the quantities they need to produce these chemicals to add to their add to the trucks and all. China too has banned the export of it. You know, so the article was painting a very grim picture because that means when trucks, hauling trucks cannot move because of the sabotage, the shortage, then what happens? Food supplies, cargo ships and all. So you see, the system is just geared towards a shortage. You know, I was having a chat with my wife this afternoon. I was telling her that, see, when you look at all that is happening, it looks like, oh, just a coincidence, this is happening there. But the truth is, it's all planned. I mean, for those who, it's all that we are seeing, for some of us, is not surprising because, you know, I joined their meeting once, the World Economic Forum, last year. And, you know, these people, the things they discuss and the things they talk about, they give you advance warning indirectly. It's like they just throw the information out there, take it or leave it type of thing. I mean, it's as if, oh, these are the potential problems and all. But this is like more of coded messaging. And the supply chain systems and all the way it was discussed extensively in this meeting. When I finished, I joined, and after the online version, I left. But that day, I spent quite some hours just to get some information on this. And, you know, I just realized that this is the next stage the world is going to get into. The things they talked about is exactly what we are seeing. You see, they know. They know that if you touch this, the ripple effect runs through the whole world economy. Now, if you have friends in Europe and I'll talk to them and see, I mean, they'll tell you how grim the issue is, you know, people, the economy. Belgium, there was strike this week. Cost of living has just gone off the roof. So there was strike from airports to everywhere. I mean, serious strike. You know, because countries are now facing inflation, 40-year record levels, inflation and all. You see, so you realize this is a global system thing. But behind the scenes, there are some people who have engineered all that is happening and are excited what is happening. They are excited about it because their plan is to build the world to the way they want it. But before you can, they can build the way they want it, you have to destroy the current structure, the current system. You see, so destroy it, and then you build back better to the way the new world order, the way they want it. And that's where they can control human beings. They can control things. So you see, all that is happening is in the interest of the globalists. Because, so you see, if you really follow what is happening, well, you ask yourself that, for instance, let me read one of the news. Okay, I'll get there. I think when I get there, then I'll talk about that one. All right, so the next one, Germany. Okay, it's even the next one. Yeah, Germany warns that entire industries could stop due to gas shortage. Germany could be forced to close down entire industrial sectors if there's a nationwide natural gas shortage. Economy Minister Robert Habeck told Der Spiegel, that's the newspaper, on Friday, quote, all factory activities will be suspended. It will be a disaster for some industries, and we are not talking about 1 or 2 days, 2 days or weeks, but about a long time. We are talking about people who will lose their jobs and regions that will lose entire industrial complexes, unquote, Habeck said. The minister insisted, however, that Germans are united in the face of these difficulties. Now listen to the next part. Support anti-Russia sanctions and are ready to endure some degree of hardship. Let me finish. I'll make my comment on this. You know, earlier this week, Habeck said the reduction of Russian gas supplies to Germany demonstrates the effectiveness of Western sanctions and claimed EU restrictions on goods and services provided to Moscow are preventing it from using money generated through energy sales. Last week, gas flows through the Nord Stream pipeline from Russia to Germany were cut by as much as 60%. So Russian energy giant Gazprom said this was due to technical issues arising from Western sanctions. So from the finance minister of Germany's own words, you know, the effect of the sanctions is the reason why they would suffer to the point where they have to shut down industries. And if you know Germany is basically based on, it's an industrial nation. So if factories and industries shut down, the economy virtually grinds to a halt. But you see, so the sanctions, you ask yourself that, what is the sense in these sanctions that these Western countries have just put on Russia? Because it's like you are cutting your own leg in the name of somebody. Because now you are suffering. The effect is now hitting big time on these same countries that initiated the sanctions. And they don't care. Because, you see, at the end of the day, these politicians, they'll still be at post. So look at a similar case, what I just read. Yes, factories, people will lose their jobs. But the politician, he'll still be in position, receiving his money, but people will lose their job because of this. And that's exactly what the globalists have set in motion. Destroy the system. They know intentionally by the actions of these sanctions that this is what is going to destroy the Western economy and the world economy at large. But let's still go ahead. So I keep asking some friends when we talk about these things that why should the whole world be punished because of Ukraine? I mean, why should they, because of they being targeted or being whatever, because of them, we should all sacrifice for just one country, the whole world economy should be crashed, people should die because of them, people should lose their livelihoods because of them. It makes no sense. But this is the world we are in. They don't care about the ordinary person. No, they don't. So they are pushing the world to the brink of destruction, and then now they will justify why, okay, you see, things have been destroyed, economies collapsed, this, okay, so now let's redesign, let's rebuild the world economy based on the way they have designed it, which they call the fourth industrial revolution, which is the same as the new world order, which is the same as the build back better. And then, you know, the Great Reset. It's the same thing. So it's like, let's collapse things. So the war, COVID started this whole agenda, and then the war is continuing it. So they are using these things as the opportunity to crash the world system. So it's intentional. All that they are doing, it is intentional. They know exactly the effect of the sanctions. So, you see, they are not, I mean, how can you say that people, somebody who is losing a job will support the punishment of Russia, and then he cannot feed his children, so he will be happy with the sanctions? I mean, come on. I mean, you see, but that's how the game that they are playing on the minds of people. Then we have the next one. Some strange things are happening in the world. Let me just talk about some of them. WHO gives update on mysterious child hepatitis outbreak. So the number of reported probable cases of severe acute hepatitis of unknown origin in children has more than tripled in a month. And the World Health Organization, WHO, said in a statement on Friday, the number of cases has risen to 920 worldwide, up from 720 in the organization's previous report late last month. The actual number may even be higher, the WHO said. The outbreak was initially detected in early April when Britain reported 10 cases of mysterious hepatitis in previously healthy children under the age of 10. Cases have since been reported in 33 countries, with the majority coming from Britain and US. According to the WHO, 45 children require liver transplants and 18 have died. Then the next again, WHO, the next news. WHO is considering declaring monkeypox a global health emergency. The WHO convened its emergency committee meeting on Thursday, that's last Thursday, to consider if spiraling outbreak of monkeypox warrants being declared a global emergency. But some experts say that the WHO decision acts only after the disease spilled into the West could entrench the grotesque inequities that arose between the rich and poor countries during the coronavirus pandemic. According to CNN, declaring monkeypox to be a global emergency would mean the UN Health Agency considers the outbreak to be an extraordinary event, that the disease is at risk of spreading across even more borders, possibly requiring a global response. It would also give monkeypox the same distinction as the COVID-19 pandemic and ongoing effort to eradicate polio. The WHO said it did not expect to announce any decisions made by its emergency committee meeting before Friday. Many scientists doubt any such declaration would help to curb the epidemic, since the developed countries recording the most recent cases are already moving quickly to shut it down. Then the next news also says monkeypox outbreak growing across Britain, but it has some interesting information in there. British officials say the monkeypox outbreak in the UK is growing across the country, mainly, listen very well, mainly among men who are gay or bisexual, or men who have sex with men. They urge those with new or multiple sex partners to be vigilant for the symptoms of monkeypox. In a technical briefing released on Friday, Britain's Health Security Agency said their data show monkeypox is spreading in, quote, defined sexual networks of gay, bisexual, or men who have sex with men, unquote. Officials said there were no signs suggesting sustained spread beyond these populations. This is interesting. Of the 810 monkeypox cases in UK to date, 5 are women. Among patients who completed a detailed survey, 96% of those infected were men who were gay, bisexual, or had other men. Among the nearly 50 countries reporting monkeypox cases globally, Britain has the biggest outbreak beyond Africa. And this is quite, it raises I'll come back to it. Then the next news, which is also health related, says meningococcal disease outbreak affecting gay and bisexual men in Florida has killed 6. And you can see that something odd is happening. Selected 6 people are dead and 24 cases have been reported amid an outbreak of meningococcal disease in Florida, according to Center for Disease Control and Prevention. In a Wednesday news release, the CDC said they are recommending, quote, recommending gay, bisexual, and other men who have sex with men get a meningococcal vaccine. And then if they live in Florida or talk with their healthcare provider about getting vaccinated if they are traveling to Florida. Along with men who have sex with men, the Florida Department of Health is recommending vaccination during the outbreak to all college, university students, immunocompromised people, people living with HIV, and anyone who last received the vaccine for it more than 5 years ago. According to the CDC, anyone can get the vaccine at no cost and all that. But see, this is also another disease affecting only the LGBT community. And that's something else. Then the next news item says, New York City to offer monkeypox vaccine as outbreak expands. Unusual symptoms emerging not previously associated with the virus. So the New York City began offering vaccination against monkeypox to at-risk groups on Thursday as authorities scrambled to contain a global outbreak. But demand was so high within hours of launching the program, the city had to cut off the walk-in appointments and scheduled visits were already booked throughout next week. As opposed to the early COVID days of COVID, when there was no effective treatment, there are already multiple vaccines that work against the otopox virus that causes the ailment. Supply, however, is the question. And then goes on to say that according to the NBC in New York, some 30 people have tested positive for the virus in the city since early May. Now listen, almost all of them are men who have sex with men. And the number of cases has risen 60% in just last week. In total, New York City represents more than 20% of all cases diagnosed nationwide. I mean, clearly you can see that this is something that is within their community. Because look at the number of cases and the percentages involved. It's just obvious. Then the next news, I think that's the final of the health one. It says Austrian man catches drug resistant quote super gonorrhea unquote, and experts claim virus poses major global threat. Super gonorrhea poses a major global threat, scientists have warned, in the wake of an Austrian man catching a drug resistant version of the STI. The unidentified man in his 50s became infected after having unprotected sex with a prostitute whilst on holiday in Cambodia in April. 5 days later, when he returned home, he experienced burning pain and then whilst in the discharge and all that. Then according to Daily Mail, medical tests reveal he had gonorrhea and he was given standard antibiotics. While the drugs made his symptoms disappear, the man still tested positive, which meant the treatment had technically failed. Doctors called his strain extensively drug resistant and different from ones seen before. They warned it could effectively render gonorrhea untreatable if it was allowed to spread. Lead author of the report, Dr. Sonja Penninger of the Austrian Agency for Health and Food Safety, said such strains poses a major global public health threat. If such strains manage to establish a sustained transmission, many gonorrhea cases might become untreatable, she said. New medications targeting the gonorrhea bacteria and/or the creation of an effective gonorrhea vaccine are crucial to limiting the impact of drug-resistant strains, the authors added. The man was eventually treated with a week-long course of, some long medical names, drugs, and then a combination of antibiotics, and then later tested negative. However, the Cambodian sex worker was unable to be traced, meaning the situation could repeat itself. According to experts who detailed the man's case in the journal Eurosurveillance. Let me read part of the Bible. Romans 1:18. Downwards. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. 19. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, bend up in their last one towards the other, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. This is the word of the Lord. You know, it's not surprising when strange diseases now begin to attack the LGBT community. And I just hope and pray that it will bring repentance to those who are wise. Because clearly you can see that this is not normal. No. It's not normal. But I just hope people will see it that way and act quickly to repent before they also get attacked. You know, it's just like the wrath of God is beginning to unfold against some of these things. Oh, yes. And the second half of the year is going to be something else. Oh, yeah. Second half of the year is going to be something else. Against some, you know, some countries and some groupings and all, things are going to be to get a bit more rough. Yeah. Okay, so let's continue. We have first outbreak of highly infectious polio has just been detected in UK. Health officials declare national incident. You know, the Bible is true. I mean, Matthew 24:7. For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences. Underline pestilences. So it's not strange that suddenly diseases and viruses, I mean, one here, one there, various names, various. It's not strange that it's beginning to be something that is occurring. So the UK issue, where is it? Okay, yeah. First, okay, so it says polio is spreading in the UK for the first time in decades, officials claim. Health bosses urge the Brits to check their children's jabs are up to date after picking up signs of the virus being passed between individuals. According to The Sun, experts have detected the same bug in London sewage samples since April. a clear signal of the community outbreak. No cases have yet been confirmed in the UK and the UKSHS. Okay, UKHSA. Okay, I think UK Health Security Agency or something. Said samples were found in East and North London. These chiefs say that this suggests it's likely there has been some spread between closely linked individuals. Because of this, they said these cases could be shedding the virus strain in their feces. Investigations are currently ongoing and there are not yet been any cases of paralysis reported. Medics today said that the emergence of polio in the UK reminds us that it has not yet been eradicated. The last case of polio being eradicated in Britain was in 1984, and the country was declared polio-free in 2003. So, you know, viruses rearing their heads again. Police in Sudan arrest church leaders from Bible study. Police in Sudan walked into a church Bible study class on Tuesday. This was June 14th. The report is now coming out. And arrested two Christian leaders for, quote, violating public order, unquote, the attorney said. Officers in Omdurman across the Nile River from Khartoum took Pastor Kabashi Idris of the African Inland Church and Evangelist Yakub Ishak of the Independent Baptist Church into custody in presence of those at the Bible study at the Baptist Church in the High Thai Thawa West area of the city, said an attorney Shimbango Award. Charged with violating public order under Article 77 of Sudan's Penal Code, they were released on bail the same day, he said. They were accused by a radical Muslim neighbor who filed a case against them at the police station in the area, prompting the police to arrest the two church leaders, Awad said. The radical Muslim told police his children were singing the songs of the Christians and feared they might convert to Christianity. Oh, interesting. Last month, the radical Muslim, whose house is near the church building, filed a complaint of disturbing the peace, ostensibly because the church was worshipping in a song, Awad said. Police on May 19 summoned and interrogated the two church leaders and released them. A guilt verdict could result in a prison sentence of up to 3 months, a fine or both, and the courts could issue an order to cease worship services, Awad said. Following 2 years of advances in religious freedom in Sudan after the end of the Islamic dictatorship under Omar al-Bashir in 2019, the specter of state-sponsored persecution returned with a military coup in October 25, 2021. After al-Bashir was ousted from 30 years of power in April 2019, the transitional civilian military government managed to undo some Sharia provisions. It outlawed the labeling of any religious group infidels and thus effectively rescinded apostasy laws that made leaving Islam punishable by death. With the 25th October coup, Christians in Sudan feared the return of the most repressive and harsh aspects of Islamic law. Al-Daba Hamdok, who had led a transitional government as prime minister starting in September 2019, was detained under house arrest for nearly a month before he was released and reinstated in tenuous power-sharing agreement in November. And all that. So, Christian persecution increases again. You know, Sudan is one of the countries, you know, Sudan, Eritrea, Iraq, Iran, Saudi, all these places. Nigeria, we can't live now. Nigeria is one seriously a major factor. And then the big news in the US, you know, this week, yesterday, the Supreme Court overturned the Roe versus, the Roe case. It's been many years, almost 49 years since 1973. Yeah. So Roe versus Wade is a standard, case in the U.S. Over the years when it comes to abortion. So the Supreme Court turned this headline, says, "We will fight that Planned Parenthood protests." As pro-life groups celebrate Supreme Court overturning 49 years of Roe. So it's a name, like the name of the 49 years ago, a case that went to Supreme Court, Roe versus Wade. on abortion. So that's how come it's been the name Roe versus Wade all these years. So in a historic ruling in Dobbs versus Jackson Women's Health Organization, a case regarding whether to uphold Mississippi's 15-week abortion ban, the U.S. Supreme Court overturned the 1973 Roe versus Wade decision that legalized abortion nationwide. The ruling means that individual states will now determine abortion laws and outcome many in the pro-life movement see as legal victory after 49 years of advocacy. Justice Samuel Alito wrote the court 6.6-3 ruling that the Constitution does not confer a right to abortion. Roe and Casey are overruled, and the authority to regulate abortion is returned to the people and their elected representatives. Last May, the Supreme Court agreed to take the Dobbs versus Jackson Health Women's Organization and determine whether to uphold Mississippi's 2018 Gestational Age Act. The act banned abortions after 15 weeks in the state. Dr. Sachin Carr Ellis filed a suit on behalf of the Jackson Women's Health Organization, the state's sole abortion facility. Mississippi appealed to the Supreme Court after two lower courts blocked the law as it conflicted with Roe's viability standard. And then in other news, protests erupt across U.S. after Supreme Court reverses Roe versus Wade. So it's like protests, you know, distraction, some targeting the pro-life clinics. And I know tomorrow church, Sunday, some churches are going to be targeted. You know, it's my when I watch the anger from the liberals, the Democrat leaders, including the president himself, you know, all of them angry and all that. And the question is, angry about what? Killing a baby? And it's like, this is the world that something as bloody as that, killing a baby, is so important to the society that people are so furious. It's like, wow, their life is being destroyed and this and that. And it's like, you know, Planned Parenthood is angry because it's a multi-billion dollar industry, you know, that's where they make their big monies from. And then you want to, but is it not that it's been banned completely, but now the states have to, but some states are already banning it. So that means if it's banned in the state you are in, that's it, it's banned. So this is where the anger is. But I was surprised when the big corporations started releasing statements yesterday, soon after the court ruling, that no problem. So far as some states will be upholding and doing it, they will sponsor their workers, staff who want to travel this world. So I saw one company, they'll be giving up to $10,000 for travel expenses, travel, go and do abortion and come back. And it's like, you know, it shows how low America has sunk. Fine, this thing has been there for 49 years, but the actions being taken now in respect to this ruling shows that the country has lost its moral compass. I mean, they've lost it. Morally, the country is finished. It's so sad how sin, something that is so wrong at all, in all ways, but the anger from the president downwards, and you ask yourself, this is the world we are in, where good is bad and bad is good. So this week, the world leaders, G7 leaders, are going to meet. I think they are going this weekend. They are starting their meeting in Germany, and they have a lot of things to discuss. The world economy, all these leaders, their countries are facing serious inflation issues and food crisis, world food crisis that is already on. It's just showing. Some countries are already facing it seriously. And it's now becoming something which, but the annoying thing, I'll use the word annoying thing, is these same G7 people who are going to meet to discuss the problems they are facing, they have created the problem largely. Because if they didn't put these sanctions on Russia, most of the problems the world is facing now will not be in it anyway. So it's like, in the name of one country, let's sacrifice the whole world. They are going to discuss. What are they going to discuss? I will not be surprised they will say even more sanctions again on Russia. Because, you know, and the more they add the sanctions, the more all of us get affected. But they don't care. No, they don't care. Because they will still have food to eat anyway. I mean, they will still survive. If there's left with only one bag of rice in any country, the president will still have access to it. So they don't care. So they will keep doing what they are doing, because the ultimate goal is setting up and ensuring the system is set right towards the Antichrist system. That's all that they are working towards. So, I mean, for those who think we are living in some good times and all that, no. All that these globalists are doing, they are pushing the world towards the setup of the Antichrist system. So that's why they don't care about the consequences of the actions they are taking, because they have a bigger goal to achieve. You know, they have a bigger goal to achieve. So they are quickly doing what they are doing, because the system has to be in place. And you see, so at the time they are set and done with the evil that they are doing, all the destruction they are doing, the world economy will be on its knees. There will be massive global food crisis, massive energy crisis worldwide, you know, unemployment at the largest ever in the world. This is, you see, at the world will be in such a state where the world will be calling for a helper, someone to come in, someone who can bring solutions to the world. Yes, that's all that they are doing. I believe those who understand what I'm saying will understand it better. Yes, but just a little in the summary of it. Okay, so Issues of Life is the program. I'll be back after this beautiful song by Nathaniel Bassi El Shaddai.
God waited for his promise to come to pass. He waited 75 years, 76, 77, 80, 85, 90, then 99. God showed up as El Shaddai. When God reveals himself as El Shaddai, he's about to bring some things to pass. Somebody shout El Shaddai! Sufficient. Thank you. Can you celebrate this jewel? This jewel of the kingdom. Africa is blessed. Africa is not a dark continent.
Very beautiful worship song. El Shaddai, Nathaniel Bassi. You know, Genesis 17:1. And when Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And the Almighty God, that is El Shaddai, the Almighty God, El Shaddai. You know, we've been talking about building our faith in him, building our faith in the Lord and all that. But the foundation of building our faith in the Lord can be picked from Genesis 17:1, where we have a classic case study of Abraham's relationship with God. But look at the condition that God set. He says that, he said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. Be thou perfect. You know, so when it comes to building our faith, our relationship with God and all that, there's one cardinal thing we cannot ignore. The standard of living, the standard is high. We just cannot live carelessly, anyhow, like unbelievers. And then when we need God, we just call on him. You know, we can't treat God like a spare tire, which, you know, as and when you get into trouble, you pull out and use, you know. But if you've not had the need to use it, it's just there. I mean, so if a whole year you've not had a flat tire or bust tire or something, I mean, the spare tire is of no use. There are some who, by virtue of where they live, the good road and, you know, the tire, the quality of the tire and all that, can go for a very long time without ever changing or ever needing the spare tire. So we can conveniently place God under such a scenario where all is well, you have no problem, you're able to get whatever you want, you can afford whatever you want, you know, everything works well. So why should you bother to try and push yourself to another level, reconnect your relationship with God at another level type of thing? You know, what's the big deal? You can do without. You know, so unconsciously, that's how some of us also live. I mean, unconsciously, we don't see why we should stress ourselves trying to live right before God, you know, trying to please him, trying to live holy, trying to do what is right and all that. You don't see the need. It's like, well, yeah, a little there, a little. We are Christians on Sunday, Monday through Saturday, you know. We are just like the world. Sunday morning, we revise ourselves again back to base. We are in church. We feel like Christians. After church, back in the world. You know, this cycle is on for. There are some believers, that's how their cycle of life regarding their spirituality is. But, you know, there's one thing, let me just say it as it is. We've entered the season where it is dangerous to be a lukewarm Christian. It is dangerous to be a lukewarm Christian. It is dangerous to play church, just, you know, play church as you've been doing over the years. the season has changed. I mean, for that one, you may not, well, have noticed it, but the season has changed. Maybe your pastor has not told you, you've not been told in church exactly, but the season has changed. We've entered into a season where one has to really draw the line in the sand. I am a believer. I am a serious Christian. Or forget it. We've entered that season where we cannot just live anyhow. Because it's going to be very dangerous to play that game in the times we are in and the times ahead. It's going to be very dangerous to play that game because, I mean, it will cost you dearly and it can cost you your life. Oh, yes. Playing with sin in the times ahead can really be very expensive. It will cost you, it can cost you your life. Because, you see, the devil is really coming out head on, seriously, knowing the times are really, really getting shorter by the day. So, you know, this is not the time where he's going to play games and like trying to set a trap for someone and wait, if he falls in, then so if 2 years he hasn't fallen in, then you are just waiting. No. He hasn't got that luxury of time to be waiting that long again. So the least, I mean, when you play some rough games, oh, let me go into the world, let me live in sin a little, you know, by the time I realize from. And you see, we cannot play with God all the time. There comes a time where we should know when to stop some things. We cannot continue deceiving ourselves that we are Christians, we are born again, we shout in tongues, so it's like we think that makes us Christian. Yet our lifestyle is opposite. So you can, if you speak in tongues and you know you say all the Christian jargons everyone is saying, but in your inner chamber you live a lifestyle that is exactly opposite that of Christian, you are deceiving yourself. I mean, you've not deceived, you think, yes, you are deceiving others, but ultimately you are deceiving yourself, because you will be the one who will pay the price ultimately if you don't repent. So we should understand the times are no longer the same where we used to play with sin and then come back, play with sin, come back, go, come. We are in that season where you may go and you will not be able to come again. You go into the world and that is it. We can't come back again. The opportunity will be off, because the devil is not going to keep waiting, giving you a long rope. No. The time is short, so as many as he can get, as soon as he can get, he will get them. And you see, the danger with playing with the world is you can really be exposed without any divine protection. Because you see, we should understand God's standard. We should stop deceiving ourselves that, the fact that God is not striking us with lightning or like, you know, immediately like Ananias and Sapphira type of thing does not mean that he condones the wrongs that we are doing under his name, in the name of God, the things we are doing, the lifestyles. Oh yes, we say we are Christians, but we know that our lives are nowhere near that of a Christian. So we have to be very careful about these days. The times have changed. And if we want to build our faith in him, then we should know that it should be by his terms and not by our terms and rules. No, he sets the standard. He has set it already. We have it in his written word. Countless people like Abraham, to look at what he told them. The relationship Abraham had with God is phenomenal. I mean, it's something out of the, it's just unique. But there was a condition precedent which he said, walk before me and be perfect. So that means Abraham could not just leave anyhow, because he knew that he was in a relationship with God. So if we know we want to be in a good relationship with God, then we also have to redefine how we are living our lives. We have to know the do's and the don'ts. We just cannot do anything. You just cannot live like the world Monday to Saturday, and then only Sunday you remember there's God. You just cannot close your Bible Monday through Saturday, and then Sunday morning you open it. We just cannot be praying 1 minute, 2 minutes, sign of the cross, you finish off, you go to work. You work and work and work, chase all the money, and then in the evening when you are come to sleep, sometimes you don't even remember to thank God for the day, even before you sleep. When you come, you are just engaged, you know, watching football, watching entertainment, you know, being on social media. We have time for everything except God. And then when things are rough, we say that, oh, we are calling on God. You know, we should stop deceiving ourselves, because there comes a time where you call on God and he doesn't mind you. Oh yes, I mean, I don't have my time, but there are countless verses like that where you call me, it's like he won't mind you. He won't mind you. You see, because you can't just treat him anyhow and then expect that when you just need him, like some help, servant, something, maid servants, house help, you just need him, just call him, hey, brah. No. You can't treat God like that. It's per his conditions and per his terms. So, if we want to build our faith, we want to walk with him, then it should be according to his standards, not our standards. We cannot just set the rules for ourselves. No, we have no rules to set. It is his rules that we have to follow. As simple as that. Because you see, the reason why I've been talking about these things in this series is the fact that it's not that to scare you, but the truth has to be said. You know, we have to say the truth as it is. And that's why I started the warning. I've been warning from the beginning of the year. The world system is changing. And you see, the truth is the truth. We've not reached the point where they want the world system to reach. No, we've not reached there. I'm telling you, we've not reached there yet. The world system is going to go further down. The world economy is going to go further down. And for countries like Ghana, only God can help us. Because you see, even countries with better systems in place are struggling. Europe, I mean, I told you Belgium, they're doing demonstration this week and all that. And if, I mean, sometimes when I see their news, the inflation, 40-year inflation, how much, I mean, like, what's the percentage? Oh, 8.9%. Come to Ghana and see, we are having inflation 20-something, we are approaching 30% inflation. Not that, they are talking of 40-year inflation and record high, less than 10%. But it's such a big jump per their system, because that's not the norm. We are a bit used to some of these, you know, Africa there, you know our case already. But just to let you understand that even countries with better systems are beginning to fail the brands. So when the real games that these people are trying to play on the world's economy and the world system and the lives of people, they push it further to another level, how would Africa fare? How would we survive the world system? And that's the reality. See, so when you can foresee all these things unfolding, the righteous runs quickly to seek safety in the Lord. Oh yes, because you don't have to wait for it to come before you. Not like a storm. No, when a storm is about to, sometimes you just see the clouds are moving fast. The clouds are moving fast, spreading. Then the leaves begin to, you know, shake a little. If you are in town you know that you have to quickly, it's time to look for advanced place where you can seek shelter. Because you can easily predict in some instances, yes, it will blow and then nothing will happen. But, you know, some you can see that this one there in Suebeto. So you quickly, if you are in a shop, you try to delay and wait there. Because at least you are seeking your shelter there. You can see that the danger signs are obviously ahead. You don't have to wait till you get there before you now seek help. No. You have to be wise and seek help ahead of time. And that's the essence of these things I've been, this series that I've been talking about. Right from the beginning of the year, if you've been following the things I've been talking about, it's all more of preparing us for the times, preparing our times. We don't have to wait till we are in the real heat before now. We are now discussing how we're going to depend on God. You see, in the heat of the situations, by then, the harm has already been caused for some people. Some people will not even have the money to even buy electricity to even listen to a program. Some people cannot even afford to be on the internet to even listen to a program online or something. You know, some of these are the realities that are ahead. You see, so that's why it's better to prepare ahead of time. So that by the time we get there, you're already prepared spiritually, emotionally, psychologically, and all. That's the essence of these things we talk about here. Not to scare you, but it is wisdom to prepare. It is wisdom to prepare. There's this verse. Let me see. I'm looking for it. Oh, missing. Okay, the program is Issues of Life. Eben. Okay. I'm looking for this verse. Okay, I don't know whether. Okay. So, back to the issue where I was talking about our preparation and our safety. Safety is in the Lord. So, if we don't really have a good relationship with Him, how else are we expecting to run to Him when we are in trouble? How else? Because if, let's say, you are not on talking terms with somebody, and then now you need help from that, you know that this person can help you. And then you go and knock at his door. He opens the door and he sees you. What do you want from me? You are now coming to start the process, apology. And say, the other time, you know, I don't know what came over me. That's when the devil becomes everything. The devil will blame him. You know, and then you are now apologizing before, okay, if he chooses to forgive you, oh, okay, so what can I do for you? You know, you are now, by the time you finish and all, if something is happening to you, you see, so there's a time where you ensure that your relationship is in good standing ahead. You don't wait till you are in the heat of a situation before now you go and you are now going to seek for a good relationship with someone. No. In this case, we are even talking of God. Why won't it be better for us to have a good relationship with Him on a constant basis? What is there to lose if we live right before God? I mean, what do we lose? What do we lose if we say we want to be in the world, we want to enjoy the pleasures of this world, and yet we still want to be with God? I mean, why wouldn't we rather say that we want to live right with God and have our peace of mind with Him? Because He is the Prince of Peace anyway. Why wouldn't we rather be in His shelter? He will protect us, He will deliver us, He will provide for us. I mean, there's all to gain, and rather than to be in the other side, and then when you are in trouble before, you rather try to run to Him. let's try and renew our minds to the fact that if we say we are going to need God, and as for God, we are going to need God. That one, seriously, we would need God in the times ahead. The second half of the year, we would need God more than ever before. So if we know you are going to need God, we are going to build our faith to the point of trusting in Him and relying on Him and all that, then it's time to really factor our relationship into this whole equation. Because you cannot expect a good result at the end of the equation when some of the parameters are just not right. So let's get everything right so that the equation will give us a good result. Because we cannot treat God as a spare tire. I know over the time, you know, believers unconsciously we've been sidelining God. But please, it's time we bring God back into the equation of our lives. Let's bring Him back into the equation of our lives. You know, there are times we think we have everything, so we don't need Him. But we get to a situation, realize, Kai, Asamaba, you need to call on God. There's this classic example. I mean, let me just see if I can read it in Chronicles. Interesting. Some interesting stories are in Chronicles. Yeah. Okay. First Chronicles 5:18-23. The sons of Reuben and the Gadites and half of the tribe of Manasseh, of valiant men able to bear buckler and sword, and to shoot with bow and skillful in war, were 440,000. That's 440,703. Wow. So you know, 440. That's 44,000, and then 440,000. Okay, and then 703. So 63. Okay, that's 60. So 760. Then the 440,000. So we have this huge number that went out to war, and they made war with the Hagarites, with Jutah, and then with Nephilish, and then Nodab, and they were helped against them, and the Hagarites were delivered into their hand, and all that were with them, for they cried to God in the battle, and He was entreated of them, because they put their trust in Him, and they took away their cattle and all that. So they had the numbers, but they still have to call on God. They realized they couldn't depend on their numbers. They had to call on God. There's another one too in Second Chronicles. This one is about King Asa, 14:8-15, where it says, "And Asa had an army of men that bear targets and spears out of Judah, 300,000, and out of Benjamin that bear shields and drew bows, 280,000. All these were mighty men of valor. And they came out against them, the Zerah, the Ethiopian, with an host of 1,000,000. That is 1,000,000. You see, so they had 300,000 and then 280,000. So now, when you compare, and you see, they thought these were men of valor. They had their numbers. But now you go and face an enemy who is coming with 1,000,000 people. 1,000,000. So, and Asa cried unto the Lord, his God, and said, "Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord, our God, for we rest on thee, and in thy name we go against this multitude. O Lord, thou art our God. Let not man prevail against thee." So the Lord smote the Ethiopians before Asa and before Judah, and the Ethiopians fled. And Asa and his people that were with him pursued them unto Gera, and the Ethiopians were overthrown, and they could not recover themselves, for they were destroyed before the Lord and before his host, and they carried away very much spoil, and they smote all the cities around you know, all that. You see, this is a classic case of some, I mean, they had the numbers, hundreds of thousands. But then now they face an enemy that is much bigger. And now realize that the only hope is to call on God. So we shouldn't trust in our own defenses that we have, our own plans, we've done this, we have this. No, 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 we shouldn't trust in it. Because soon we realize that we need to call on God. We need to call on God. And that's why it's important that we establish a correct line of communication. And that can only be effective when we are living right. When we live right, we choose to live right before God. Then we can have a good and clear channel of communication with Him. Then our faith can be dependent on the word of God. Because, you know, we will need Him. So let's do what is right to the point where when we need Him and when we call on Him, He will also hear us. It's so important that we don't take these things for granted and just live carelessly, you know, living in sin freely. No, we don't feel any rebuke, nothing. We just, nothing. Our conscience is so seared. It's like, you know, nothing is happening. No, we are not being struck down. There's no fear of God. So a free for all, it's like we are just living. No, let's allow others to live that life where they don't fear God. But it's time we fear God. And it's time we live to please Him. We live the right life as Christians. Because at the end of the day, you know, there's one thing we have to keep reminding ourselves. There's a heaven to work towards. You know, the heaven that we would want to go to belongs to someone, God. And we just can't live anyhow and carelessly and say we want to go to heaven. His heaven, who's heaven? You know, please, let's live right. We just cannot be careless about it. And I believe God Himself, let's seek His help, the Holy Spirit, to guide us. I think I have some messages. Let me just break a little and then read some of the messages when I come back. I'll be back with this beautiful old song by Amy Grant.
Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. When I feel afraid, think I've lost my way, You're there right beside me. Nothing will I fear as long as You are near. Please be near me to the end. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a my guide, hold me to Your side, and I will love You to the end.
by Amy Grant. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light unto my path. When I feel afraid, think I've lost my way, still you are there right beside me, and nothing will I fear as long as you are near. Please be near to the end. And then goes on, I will not forget your love for me, and yet my heart forever is wandering. Jesus, be my guide and hold me to your side. I will love you to the end. Nothing will I fear as long as you are near. Please be near to the end. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Beautiful song. And that is it. We are going to need God, and we are going to need his word to be the light unto our feet, and we are going to need him near us more than ever before. And this is Eben, and we thank God for this evening. God bless you for listening. The recording will be on spiritissues.info, and then the Telegram group Spirit Issues. You can download it and I'll upload it tonight, and you can get it there. So good night, and God bless you.
Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto me.